Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
This world is filled with quick fix solutions that don't last and frankly don't work. We're all facing difficult questions and circumstances beyond our control. Are you up against the wall? Well, Jesus can make the difference. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to find out how with Dr. Paul Chappell. Diets to self-help books to relationships and career decisions to family issues, every human being is looking for something that will make a difference, looking for solutions to questions that are bigger than us. Does this describe you? I know it describes me at times. Well, next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study the difference that Jesus makes, because we really do believe, the Bible is clear, Jesus Christ is really the difference that every one of us is longing for in our hearts. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series, The Difference That Jesus Makes. We're going to discover that Jesus is the solution that truly does make a difference for all of eternity. Before we join today's message, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. This is the best way to interface with us at Daily in the Word and let us know that you're listening. Click on the Contact Us button, jot us a quick email, and let us know that our program is touching your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us and contributing to our airtime support? Every dollar you invest into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for the costs of airtime that we might continue teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God all across the country. On the website, you'll find a host of other resources and information, locations where Pastor Chappell will be speaking in the coming months, also linked to the Alaska cruise information and so many other resources. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. But first, our message today is the prayers of Christ make a difference. We're going to study Jesus and his prayer, Luke 22, verses 14 through 32. Here's Paul Chappell.
Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a perfectly sinless life, suffered and died on the old rugged cross in order to make a difference in our lives. And every single step toward the cross was a cross of purpose. It was a step of purpose. It was a step of passion. And every single step that Jesus made was a step that was made for you and for me. This morning, as we study these steps, and over the next several weeks, we're going to see that along the way to Calvary, Jesus Christ stopped and he prayed. In fact, it's interesting how many times Jesus prayed and spoke to the Father on the way to the cross and while hanging upon the cross. And during these events leading up to Calvary, he stopped many times and prayed. For example, as we consider those steps leading to the cross, we think about the Last Supper and how Jesus there in the time observing the Passover and then instituting the Last Supper took time and he prayed. And then we see him moving towards the Garden of Gethsemane, and we remember that Jesus Christ there was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and yet he never lost his purpose. He never lost his love. He never turned back. He just kept going on towards Calvary. He was taken to the trial at Caiaphas' house, and while he was there, standing before Caiaphas, in a place not too far away Peter was betraying Jesus Christ. And that must have been difficult to have one of his ardent disciples say, "I never even knew him," and to curse and deny Jesus Christ. But that did not stop Jesus. He still took another step towards Calvary, and in love, he kept going forward to do what God had called him to do. The Father's will must be done. We see the Lord Jesus as he stood in trial before Pilate, and Pilate said, "I find no fault in him," and yet the crowd demanded that Jesus Christ be crucified, and so he went back to Herod, and then he was sent back to Pontius Pilate, and finally Jesus was scourged, and they took that whip, and they beat the back of our Savior, and the metal and the glass began to rip his flesh as he was punished without cause. Finally, Jesus was condemned to die, and then they placed upon his shoulders that beam, and he began his journey up the hill of the skull called Golgotha. And every step of the way, he went with purpose, and he went with love and long-suffering. And along the way, he went with prayer, speaking to the Father, desiring to do the will of the Father. And this morning, we're going to learn that the prayers of Jesus Christ truly make a difference. And as Jesus went toward the time of crucifixion, he had you and he had me in his heart. He had his disciples on his mind, and he was concerned for their faith and the growth of their faith. He gave you and he gave me an example of what it means to have a relationship with God, even during the tough times of life. I want you to see the first prayer of Jesus this morning in Luke 22 and verse 17. It is ironic to me and amazing to me that his prayer was a prayer of thanks, a prayer of thanksgiving. The Bible says as the apostles gathered around Jesus in the upper room, that when Jesus began speaking to them, he said very clearly in verse number 17, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." But prior to that command, notice the words, "And he took the cup and gave thanks." He caused them to feel thankful. He himself uttered thanks. Someone said, prayer is the expression of faith in God. Prayer is thanking instead of complaining. Prayer is rejoicing, accepting, and appropriating. Now, do you understand then that just a few hours before he would suffer and die on the cross, and just prior to all of these tragic events we mentioned a moment ago, that Jesus was giving thanks? And I suppose there are some in this room today who perhaps are having some trials and difficulties, perhaps some burdens that you had not planned. And yet we can learn from Jesus Christ today that in everything we can still give thanks. In every circumstance, there's something to be thankful for. Why was Jesus giving thanks on this particular day? I want you to see three reasons Jesus gave thanks. First, he was giving thanks for past deliverance. You see, when they gathered in the upper room and celebrated what is called the Passover, they were looking back throughout the history of the nation of Israel, and they were remembering that time when God had delivered the children of Israel out of the land of the Egyptians. They were remembering that time when the death angel passed through Egypt and the blood had been applied to the doorposts. And all of those who had shed the blood of that innocent lamb had their children, their sons, spared as the death angel passed by. They were celebrating the mercy and the grace of God in delivering them in time past as a nation. This thanksgiving was offered as a time to praise God for his deliverance. And there was a past deliverance that they could look to and they could give thanks for. May I say to you today that we are blessed to live in a country that while we are forgetting our Christian roots, we still have some semblances of Christianity around us today. And one of those is a holiday called Thanksgiving, a time when our forefathers recognized we are not self-made men. In 1962, 2% of all Americans referred to themselves as secularists. In 2008, 15% refer to themselves as secularists. That is, no need for God, no belief in God. All religions are about the same. But I want you to understand that those who founded this country knew that we had an utter dependence on Almighty God. They wrote of it, they spoke of it, and they gave thanks to him. And that's what Jesus and the apostles were doing. They were giving thanks to God for his past deliverance. And even as those coming through the times of revolutionary and civil war said, let's stop and give thanks to God. Oh, how we need a revival in our leaders in America today, where men and women, in the passing of their bills and in the determining of their policies, would not forget to seek the face of Almighty God and thank Him for the way He has blessed, even as we ask for His help in the present time. Jesus and the apostles were gathered together and they gave thanks for past deliverance. Secondly, they gave thanks for the present provision. This was simply a time to give thanks before they participated and took of this particular meal. And you know, Jesus often gave thanks throughout His ministry simply for the provision of food. Though He was the creator of the food, though He is over all and owner of all, still He gave thanks for the provision of food. Sometimes we forget to have thankfulness in our heart for any kind of food. We should be thankful that God provides for us. I heard about a lady this past week in Fort Pierce, Florida. Last month she went into a McDonald's. She had her mind set on a particular food item that she wanted to eat. How many of you are like that? During the morning you start thinking, I know what I'm going to have for lunch and I can't wait. Mentally you zero in on it. And she was zeroed in on chicken McNuggets. That's what she wanted. She wanted chicken McNuggets with barbecue sauce. And she went into McDonald's and she ordered her McNuggets. She ordered her barbecue sauce. She gave her money to the lady behind the counter. The lady looked and there were no boxes of McNuggets under those warming lamps. You know, the ones they cook about 6 in the morning and sell around noon. Those ones. And so the young lady went to the manager. The manager said, you know, we're completely out of McNuggets. We've sold out. The young lady went back to the lady on the other side of the counter. She said, I'm sorry to tell you, we've sold out. I've already taken your money. Look at what can I give you instead? We've got Big Macs. We've got McRibs. We've got cheeseburgers. We got all kinds of stuff. You just tell me what you want. We'll even give you a little extra. And the lady said, I came in here for one thing, chicken McNuggets. Get me some chicken McNuggets. The lady said, I'm sorry, we don't have any chicken McNuggets. She said, we've got these other things. She said, look, I don't want a quarter pounder. I don't want a Big Mac. I don't want a McRib sandwich. I want one thing. I want chicken McNuggets. And the lady got so irate that she called 911. I mean, this was an emergency for her. I mean, don't stand between a lady and her chicken McNuggets, apparently. She called 911 not one time, but three times. The police had to come and give her a ticket for calling 911 without reason. I'm simply saying that there are times in our life when we are surrounded by blessings, but because we didn't get that one thing we wanted, we're not thankful. And this lady was surrounded by Big Macs, cheeseburgers, but she had forgotten how blessed she really was. You know, Jesus teaches us to be thankful. Matthew 15:36, He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks. Luke 24:30, and it came to pass as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. John 6:11, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples. The Holy Spirit makes a specific point in John 6:23 and says, after that the Lord had given thanks. I was with a dear friend recently and we were having breakfast together and just a friend that is somewhat newer in the faith in some ways, and right as the meal came, I said, let's have a word of prayer. And I prayed and he looked up at me after prayer. He said, why do we do that? By the way, it's a good thing to have friends that are just newer like that and that ask that question. And I said, well, we do that because Jesus taught us to do that. Jesus wants us to give thanks. And if the creator of the bread gives thanks, then all of us ought to go ahead and give thanks. In fact, he says that in Romans 14:6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks, he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. The Bible teaches that we are to sanctify with prayer and be thankful through prayer for the things that we receive. And so Jesus gave thanks for the past deliverance out of Egypt land, for the present provision of food. But thirdly, he gave thanks for the future promise that was about to be revealed. Now come down, if you would, in the text, Luke 22, and pick it up with me in verse 19. And at this same table, two things were observed. First, the Passover meal, and now the Last Supper. Not to be confused, they are two separate remembrances. And I want you to notice in verse number 19, the Bible says, and he took bread and gave thanks and break it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also he took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. Now, when the prayer was offered at the Passover meal, it was offered in thanksgiving for past provision. Now the prayer is offered at this Last Supper time in anticipation of the time when the Messiah would die on the cross and give himself as the covering for the sins of the entire world. And we see a future promise being pictured. First of all, it is the promise of Calvary. Jesus was about ready to go and have his flesh torn and his blood shed. John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. And if I being lifted up from the earth will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So Jesus Christ before his death prophesied the kind of death he would die. Not only does the psalmist and the Old Testament prophesy it, but Jesus said, I will be lifted up in the time of my death. Furthermore, he prophesied his resurrection, as it were, with the illustration of the life of Jonah. And so Jesus Christ is giving thanks in advance of Calvary and teaching his disciples to be thankful. Now, watch this. As they sat there in the upper room, they were giving thanks for a promise to come. When we gather in a few weeks on a Sunday night and observe the Lord's table, and when we take that unleavened bread and when we take that juice, we're not looking forward, we're looking backward to the cross of Calvary, and we're remembering the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. So Jesus Christ was giving thanks for the promise of Calvary to come. He was also giving thanks for another promise to come. You see, at the cross of Calvary began a new covenant of grace. And at the end of this covenant of grace, or this time of the church age, there is an event that will take place, and that is that Jesus Christ will come for his church and will take us to be with the Lord Jesus for all of eternity. And so Jesus was looking forward to the cross and beyond the cross to that time when he would come back for his disciples as he had promised in John 14. Now, notice what he says in this matter of the second coming or the rapture of the church in 1 Corinthians 11:26. It's in your notes. He says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. Now, how many of you are with me so far? As often as ye eat the bread and drink the cup, ye do show the Lord's death. When we have communion, we are showing the Lord's death. But what do the next three words in that verse say? Till he come. All right, say that with me. Till he come. So Jesus is teaching us when we observe the Lord's table to remember, yes, the broken body and the shed blood, but also to remember he is coming again. And we're to be thankful for that fact. Until he comes, we partake of the Lord's table and we remember that he is coming. A missionary friend of mine tells a wonderful story about a young lady in an orphanage in Haiti. Search the faces, he said, of the Haitian orphanage for Karenette. Study the 57 dark-skinned, bright-eyed, curly-haired, Creole-speaking, fun-loving children for this unique 7-year-old girl. She appears no different from the others. She eats the same rice and beans every day. She plays in the same grassless playground. She sleeps beneath the same tin roof. She hears the rain as it falls at night. But though she appears the same, don't be fooled. She lives in a different world. A world called home to be. See the slender girl wearing the pink shirt? The girl with the long nose and bushy hair and a handful of photos? Ask to see them and Karenette will let you. Fail to ask and she'll show you anyways. The photos bear the images of her future family. You see, she's been adopted. Her adoptive parents, they're wonderful people. They brought her pictures, a teddy bear, granola bars, and cookies. Karenette shared the goodies and asked the director to guard her bear, but she keeps the pictures. They remind her of home to be. You see, within a month or two, at the most, she'll be there. She knows the day is coming. Every opening of the gate jumps her heart. Any day now her father will appear. He promised he'd be back. He came once to claim her. He'll come again to carry her home. And until then, she lives with a heart headed for home. My friends, I want to remind you this morning that you have been adopted, and the Father in heaven has promised through His Word that Jesus Christ will come again, and we're to live every day as though it could be the day that He comes for each and every one of us. My friend, we have a lot to be thankful for today. His past provision in salvation, the daily bread that He gives us each and every day, and the promise that Jesus Christ is coming again. And I know the economy's down and trials come. I know there's the rise of secularism and a godlessness in society. But as Christians, my friend, we've got a lot to be thankful for this morning. Jesus, a few hours from the cross, gave thanks. Notice the second prayer that Jesus prayed on the way to Calvary. We'll call it the prayer of intercession. The prayer for someone else. And that someone else was a man most of us know. His name is Peter. Interestingly, that after the dinner in the upper room, Peter had been filled with pride. In fact, he and some of the other apostles were arguing over this. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's the most noticed here at the table? I mean, which of us is really the greatest? I would imagine to myself that if they could have somehow promoted themselves through some commercials or campaigns or maybe a blog to share how perfect their family lives were and how wonderful their careers were, that they would have really had a way to establish themselves. They were certain that they were the greatest in the kingdom. And that's why Jesus was worried about them. That's why Jesus prayed a little harder for them. Because they were so filled with pride, He knew that they were ripe for the devil to pick off.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We are studying a series entitled The Difference That Jesus Makes. We're discovering that Jesus is not a quick fix or a self-help solution. He is the eternal truth. He is the God-man that wants to come into your life and have a personal relationship with you. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we invite you to make that decision right now. You, wherever you are, you could bow your head and heart and invite Him into your life as your personal Savior. He will come in and save you, and it is the greatest decision you could ever make. We would love to know if you have trusted Christ as a result of listening to Daily in the Word. Would you take a moment and write to us or call us or contact us via the website? Let us send you a Bible. Let us help you grow in your Christian faith. Before we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with a word of personal greeting.
I trust the broadcast and the lessons from Daily in the Word are a blessing in your life on a daily basis. And I'd like to take a moment to encourage you as a listener and friend of the Daily in the Word broadcast to consider making a donation to Daily in the Word. We are thrilled that God has allowed us to spread the broadcast across the nation on various stations, but we always appreciate the encouragement and support of faithful friends like you. Would you take a moment sometime today and perhaps remember us by donating online at dailyintheword.org? Just find the tab that says Donate, or perhaps you'd rather write a check and mail to Lancaster, California, a gift through Daily in the Word Ministries. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. Thank you for remembering us as we share the Word of God daily with you.
The easiest way to contact us here at Daily in the Word is to visit dailyintheword.org and simply click on the button that says Contact Us. You can send us an email, give us information about yourself, and let us know that our program is ministering to you. We rejoice greatly every time we hear from our listeners, and we know that our program is touching your life. While you're on the website, I encourage you to take a moment and explore. You'll find a lot of resources to help you grow in your Christian life. If you enjoyed today's message, you could hear it again, you could download it, you could give it to a friend and refer those you love. You could also subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and other podcasts from our ministry. But the Daily in the Word podcast will download this program to your iPod or computer or your portable player at your convenience. You can listen to it anytime on the go. You can refer a friend to Daily in the Word if perhaps this program is not broadcast in their area. A lot of other information can be found on the site. One thing I would like to ask you to do in specific, and that is to prayerfully consider contributing and supporting the ministry of Daily in the Word, even on a regular monthly basis. Regardless of the size of your gift to Daily in the Word, your gift will be invested into the airtime costs of this program all across the country. We love to minister, we love to teach and preach the Word of God, but it's listeners like you who faithfully contribute and help us accomplish this mission that really make it possible. If you'd like to be a part of our ministry, you can click on the donate button when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of this edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.